Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to Inside Lacrosse's Division III Podcast. I'm Zach Babo. Today we're talking with Stevens head coach Gene Peluso. Peluso is entering his fourth year with the Ducks, where he's so far compiled a 42-12 record. 2012 was his most impressive year to date. His team captured the Empire 8 title and sported the 17-3 record. They eventually fell in the second round of the NCAA tournament to eventual runners-up Cortland. We talked with Peluso about his team's growing success, the division of powers in the North, the team's humble home in Hoboken, and one pretty lucky frat house that seemed to survive Hurricane Sandy unscathed. Well, today we have Coach Gene Peluso from Stevens joining us. Coach, thank you for coming on today and talking a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
Coach, so you guys are in the midst of your spring break trip, I'll gather, right now. I guess where in terms of travel and all that kind of stuff am I finding you guys?
We're down in Virginia Beach. We're right on the oceanfront, and, you know, we're practicing in a facility called the Virginia Beach Sports Complex the last couple of days, and we have a game at that same complex Wednesday night against Cortland.
Has the trip involved, I guess, any other stops along the way or anything, or have you guys built in other plans, I guess, other than the game in Cortland?
Well, you know, we came down here. We've done this a couple of times in the last few years, and, you know, we have a couple of men on our team from the Virginia Beach area, and certainly an area that we have some family and friends in the area, and, you know, we'd like to come down here and spend some time. You know, we've made a nice little trip out of it in the sense that we've spent some time at some of our players' homes and their parents' homes, and, you know, we've had a good experience so far at this point.
I was going to ask, Coach, normally when you hear of neutral site games, there's a reason why coaches maybe want to move them to an area neither team is necessarily from. You mentioned having guys in the team in the Virginia Beach area. Are there other maybe recruiting advantages you or Coach Bevel are reaping out of moving this game to away from either of your campuses?
I think we felt that, you know, we both felt, you know, that exactly that, you know, you get down here, an opportunity to get a little bit out of the chill of the Northeast, and not that it's tropical right now here, but certainly a little bit warmer, and, you know, give us an opportunity to be in a different area, bring us excitement to the Virginia Beach area. You know, we feel like the game will be very well attended, and, you know, we want to continue to recruit down here, certainly, and, you know, I know Cortland also has an alumni base here as well. So, you know, for all those reasons, it's a great, you know, great situation. Both schools are on spring break. So when we had set this up last May, we thought this would be a good opportunity to come down here and play in a nice, beautiful venue.
You guys have been rolling pretty well through the beginning of the season. You have big wins over Endicott and Springfield to start things off. Can you talk a little bit about how you've seen your team play so far in the early goings?
You know, the team is pretty experienced, and, you know, we feel like we have one of the best midfielders in the country, you know, and we certainly rely on those guys a lot. You know, we kind of get after some teams. We've had some big wins, as you mentioned, but we've also had some slow starts, but, you know, the nice thing about our guys is they get it going. And, you know, we're real proud of what we've done at this point. You know, being 5-0 after five games is as good as it gets. You know, we've had a couple of blips in the radar, if you will. But, you know, we're certainly working on making those adjustments and continuing to put our best foot forward.
You talk about this being a little bit more of an experienced team. You guys have kind of steadily been building better and better seasons. 2012 was a great year for you, a little bit better than 2011, which was also a really solid year. What are the maybe kind of the experiences your current team is drawing from that might make them, you know, even stronger this season?
Well, I think ultimately it comes down to this is my fourth year here at Stevens, and I think that, you know, it's a process, you know, and I think that, as you mentioned, in year number two here, you know, we're 16-3, and then last year we were 17-3. Both of those seasons ending in the NCAA playoffs against the Cortland team that we face on Wednesday. But I think once there's a familiarity and, you know, a continuity and a system in place, and the guys understanding, you know, what they're getting out of the coaches. You know, I've had the same two assistant coaches as well for 4 years here, and they're very, very talented coaches. So the players really know what what to expect from the coaches, and certainly we know what to expect from the players. And it's a great group, and without sounding cliche, it's a great family, and you know, a whole lot of mutual respect for one another, and a whole lot of goals and expectations for the group.
You mentioned that you guys Cortland stopped you in the NCAA playoffs last year. Last year, I mean, you guys had 17 wins, Empire 8 tournament. I think you had 6 or 7 All-Americans on that team. And you fall in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Do you walk away from a year like that feeling, I guess, more on the satisfied end of things, of look at all we accomplished, or does a second round exit make you think, boy, this was a really good team, and we feel like we could have maybe gone a bit further than that?
Well, a little bit of both, to be honest with you. You know, one of the things I tell, our parents in our program and even parents of recruits is that I'm real proud to be the coach at Stevens. And one of the things I allude to is that game at Cortland last year when we lost 10-9 to a team that wound up going to the national championship game. And, we were 17-3. We won the Empire A Conference. We had all these All-Americans. We had the program's first team All-American. I mean, we set records for wins. And at the end of the day, when we came up short, I looked in that locker room and, the guys weren't satisfied. The guys were, they were crushed. They were heartbroken. They thought that we could have continued to move forward. We thought we had a tough draw last year. We opened up with a tough Springfield team at home, and then we're on the road. We go from being fourth or fifth team in the country ranked to, being on the road in round two of the playoffs. So, that's how the powers that be had us. And that was a tough draw for us. At the time we said to our guys, listen, if we want to win the North, we got to beat Cortland at some point. So whether it's a second round, third round, fourth round, it doesn't matter. But, but at the end of the day, what I tell people is that the most thing I'm proud of is that our guys aren't satisfied with 17 wins. Some of these guys, 17 wins is more than they had in 3 years in high school, and 17 wins in one season, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find, a lot of schools with that type of success. But our guys weren't satisfied, and that makes me proud to be their coach. It makes me proud to be the coach of this program.
You mentioned, if you want to win the North, you got to go through Cortland. I mean, that kind of seems to be the way these power structures in D3 work out. If you want to win the North, you're going to have to go through a program like Cortland. If you want to win the South, you tend to have to go through a program like Salisbury. Maybe this year it'll be a Stevenson or even a Gettysburg or a Lynchburg. In terms of the power structure of the North, how do you think Stevens has kind of built and fit into that now as probably one of those, competitive top teams that is looking for that ticket out of the North?
Yeah, no, I think we're right there in the mix, and I think, we're certainly those things. And I think part of that's been scheduling. We added teams like Cortland and Tufts, and we wanna kind of, play the best. The old saying that to be the best you gotta to beat the best, and that's what our focus, that leads us into a reason why this week we have, Cortland on a Wednesday, and then we follow up with a Tufts team on a Saturday. So, it's the mindset. It's not putting a schedule together more than it is putting an experience together and putting our guys in a situation where they're competing at a high level. And that's kind of the goal. The goal is to keep, working hard and hopefully someday they're saying, well, you want to win the North, you got to go through Hoboken, New Jersey.
You mentioned that Tufts game on Saturday. I mean, you guys playing those two powers in the same week on a short turnaround. Win or lose, how much do you think you'll learn about your team and maybe where you're at and all that kind of stuff by the end of this week, pretty much?
I think it's a great litmus test. I think, those games do exactly that. It allows you to learn a lot about your group and it allows you to, see how your systems work and how your guys react to those type of games. Those are playoff-style games, Even in Virginia Beach, which isn't necessarily a hotbed for lacrosse quite yet, but that'll have a playoff atmosphere, that game of Portland. And then obviously when we get back to Hoboken, most of our home games have that type of atmosphere, but certainly the one against Tufts will as well. And I think the more you can expose your guys to those type of atmospheres, the better they are prepared for when that time comes, in the NCAA tournament.
You mentioned a little bit about systems, and you also a little bit ago mentioned some of your assistant coaches who have kind of been with you for a while there. Matt Madelon is a guy who got a little bit of distinction this past fall. He was received an award at the USILA coaches luncheon for, you know, top D3 assistant coach. Can you talk a little about what Matt has been able to bring along here, especially, I know early on it seemed he worked with your goalies. It seemed in the past year or so he worked largely with the offense. The offense is running some great numbers. I mean, you guys, I think so far this year, averaging a little less than 16 goals a game and 50-plus shots. Last year you had similar stats to that. What has Matt kind of brought to the table there?
Well, Matt Madelon is probably one of the best young assistants, if not the best in the country, and that's at all levels, to be honest with you. We're lucky to have him, and I inherited Matt. You know, he had been here for 2 years prior to me getting here at Stevens, and I've had him for all 4 years here. He's a chameleon in the sense that he can work with any side of the field, as you alluded to. You know, he works obviously with our goalies, being a first-class and top-class goalie in his own right still to this day playing in the league. But at the end of the day, he works with our offense now, and our offense has put up great numbers. And, you know, Matt and I really share a lot of the same philosophies, and I think that's why it's worked out so well. I couldn't be prouder of him and the job he's done. And quite frankly, that was probably one of the most well-deserved awards that I've ever seen them give out. And he certainly earned that. And, you know, he runs his job and does his job as if he's the head coach of this program, in the sense that he has so much loyalty and so much focus into this program. And someday we're gonna lose him, because he's had opportunities. But at the end of the day, we're gonna hold on to him as long as we can. And he's certainly special. And then our other full time assistant coach is Eric Koch. You know, and Eric works with our defense as well. And you know, we share an office. Three coaches in the same office, and the beauty of that is, besides having lunch together and hanging out together all day, we're constantly talking lacrosse, and we share philosophies, we share approaches, we share system thoughts. Do we disagree on some things at times? Sure, but you know what? It's very seldom, and honestly, I couldn't ask for a better staff, and that's. That's a big reason why, you know, we'll be able to do what we need to do. And that's a big reason why we've been successful. And you talk about continuity and those things are important. You know, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a staff in the country that has the setup like we do, in the sense that, you know, Coach Mallon's been here for 6 years and, 2 years prior to me, and Coach Koch has been here all 4 years with me as well. So, just proud of the job that they do, and just proud that you know that they're part of our staff for certain.
You mentioned a little bit, the ideas of agreeing on philosophies and systems, and I mean, how would you maybe describe the kind of philosophies or systems that your Ducks run? I mean, I mentioned some of the numbers on offense before. You guys seem to be more of an up tempo kind of attacking pace, but how would maybe you describe what you guys are trying to do there?
Well, I think that's exactly it. You know, we're a pretty up-tempo team. Our philosophy as a staff and as a program is attack. You know, there's the old saying, you can't be attacked when you're attacking. You know, and that's kind of our mentality. That's how we ride. That's how we clear. That's how we transition the ball. You can probably see from our stat line that we like to shoot the ball. We shoot the ball probably as much as anybody in the country. Defensively, you know, we like to mix some things up and try to put the ball on the ground and put some pressure. So I would say it's a philosophy that's pretty fast and up tempo, certainly. And we have the ability to change that depending on our opponent. We have the ability to kind of match up against opponents. But, it comes down to, a well thought out plan. And our guys are pretty bright, or very bright student athletes. And, we're able to kind of do some different things with them. We've been real impressed with the development of our midfield, three All-Americans from last year that are all seniors. And it's like having three coaches on the field. You know, they come off the field, they're telling us what they're seeing as far as slides and slide packages. And, sometimes they do things on the field on the fly that's pretty special. You know, and sometimes Madelon and I look at each other and say, wow, they kind of pulled that off on their own. And, but it's a, it's a pretty educated, lacrosse educated group. And the philosophy is to play hard, play at a fast pace, but play smart, you know, and make sure that we're kind of trying to capitalize on our strengths, and trying to stay away from our weaknesses, and, you know, and try to, you know, focus on what we can do instead of focusing on what we can't do.
You know, you mentioned some of these older guys, your savvy players out there, top middies in the country. Can you talk a little about some of the guys who are really kind of steering the ship for you this year?
So Rich Dupri is a first-team All-American last year as a junior, and he had more than 85 points and as a true midfielder. You know, in 130 years of lacrosse at Stevens, they've never had a first-team All-American, and that was kind of amazing to me. I was told that. And nobody more fitting than Rich to get that award. And not just because of the numbers he puts up, but, you know, Rich wants to be on the field defensively. So when the rules changed this year, you know, kind of played in our hands. You know, Rich wants to take every shift. You know, he's a, you know, high school, you know, two-sport high school athlete in football and lacrosse, and he just wants to be on the field. And sometimes we have to argue with him to get him off the field. You know, he's a do-it-all middy. You know, he's certainly somebody that we lean on, and, you know, he's able to shoot the ball, but he had 32 assists from the midfield spot as well. And, you know, Nick Philippi is another senior for us who was an All-American last year, honorable mention, and he's just a power dodging guy, and he works so hard. You know, it'd be hard-pressed to find another middie in the country that works at his game like Nick does. And, you know, he's another midfielder that, you know, really is another coach on the field as well. You know, and then Harry Dorn's the third guy, and Harry, and not third in the depth chart, but third on that midfield. And, you know, him and Rich have such a chemistry together. You know, I bet you Harry had 50 goals last year. I bet you, you know, almost all of Rich's assists came, you know, went to Harry, you know, and, they just see each other real well. They communicate real well on the field. So that's the strength, certainly, of our offense, you know, and strength of our team, you know, and, you know, to the point that we have a couple of sophomores and a junior at attack, and they do a very nice job and put some points up. But, you know, we're midfield oriented. You know, we let our athletes be athletes and let them get up and down. And like I said, that, you know, each one of those guys that I mentioned at the midfield can play both ends. And that's really kind of working right now with the rule changes.
You mentioned the rule change. I mean, it doesn't sound like you guys have had to really, I guess, change much to conform to these rules. You guys kind of like to keep it a little more up-tempo and push the pace anyway, I gather.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we may have been called for one timer on at this point in five games, and that may be because the ball, you know, rolled past the midfield line and we got the ball back. So it's not a question of us really, you know, playing much stall ball, like you said, but the rule changes have been different. You know, we've had to really jump into our rides and jump into our clears right off the whistles and not being able to have the horn and switch personnel on and off. And, you know, we spend a lot of time in the off seasons, you know, trying to talk about how that would look. And, you know, to the point where we even did an inter-squad scrimmage and we brought officials in the fall and then did it again in the spring where, you know, we're just trying to, you know, get as many looks as we can and see how the game was going to unfold with the new rules. And I think our guys have adjusted well. You know, our coaching staff certainly has worked hard at adjusting well at it. And, you know, so we just didn't want to be surprised by anything. And I think that's one of the things you're seeing. You know, you're seeing some teams being surprised by the rule change, you know, by the quick restarts. And you know, we've kind of been focusing on that since fall ball.
You mentioned, you know, letting your athletes play. You obviously can do that with this veteran midfield group. But generally that, you know, with the up-tempo style, with kind of letting your players play a bit more, has that been a boon to you guys in recruiting as well in terms of, you know, it's an attractive style to show kids? It's something that, you know, it's a little easier maybe to sell kids on the idea that they're going to get to come here and play a bit more and not just kind of be wedged into a system?
Right. You hit it right on the head with that. You know, we want our guys, our recruits, to come watch us play and practice. And you know, we had a junior day when we played Endicott this year. And, you know, we had all of our top 2014 recruits on campus. And you know, they were able to watch us play. And the feedback we got was, "Coach, we just love the style." And, you know, and those are the type of guys that we're trying to recruit. We want guys to know they can come here, shoot the ball behind the back, you know, shoot the ball any way they want, as long as it's, you know, as long as it's a good shot and it's, a good time for it. And we want our guys to be creative. You know, we're not here trying to change their game at all. We're just trying to make sure that they fit into our system. And that's what we do in recruiting. You know, we're looking for athletes. We're looking for guys that love playing college lacrosse, love the idea of getting up and down, love playing, you know, aggressive lacrosse at both ends. And you know, people look at our scores and sometimes see how many goals we let up and say, well, maybe their defense is not good. It's not a question of that. I think it's once you commit to a style of play that's pretty up-tempo, then you're gonna open up some things for the opponent. You know, you're going to probably, you know, try to go over the head or throw a check or be aggressive defensively. And you may extend out a little bit too far, and you may give, some offensive opportunities to your opponent. But, you know, our mentality is, you know, we'll get it back and, you know, we'll work hard. And I think young guys like to see that, you know, recruits like to see that. And then, you know, to be honest with you, our practices, 2 hours a day, our practices are pretty up-tempo. You know, our guys work hard. But it'd be hard to find a guy that says who dreads practice at Stevens. You know, I mean, we work them hard, and there's some days they probably don't love it as much as others, but for the most part, they just love the idea of just getting out and playing. And I think that's the part of it, like playing for a staff that, you know, we all kind of have the same approach when we play, you know, is we just love practice, you know, and just love getting out there. We tell the guys this is the best part of, this should be the best part of their day, the 2 hours out on the field. And I think that's kind of the approach we try to take. And you know, certainly feel like, you know, our guys have benefited from that.
You know, you mentioned before you've been there for 4 years. How have you kind of seen maybe that recruiting profile change or grow over your 4 years in maybe getting more kids interested or more of the top-tier kids maybe you want interested in the program?
Well, you know, it's been, and I hate to say it because it's going to sound a little goofy, but it's been easy. You know, a lot easier than I thought it would be. You know, Stevens is a very high academic place. The acceptance rate is pretty low, you know, in the sense that they're going after a pretty special student and student athlete. But at the end of the day, you know, when you have a campus that overlooks the New York City skyline and is right there, and with these opportunities that these guys have with co-ops and internships while they're in school, I just think it's been a home run. I mean, we've been in a situation where we offer roster spots. It's kind of how we recruit. It's our way of committing to student athletes. You know, we don't have scholarship money or a national letter of intent, but if we recruit a guy and we encourage him to go through the admissions process in early decision, then we offer guaranteed roster spots, which means they're guaranteed to have a roster spot as freshmen on our team. And I think that's somewhat unique in Division III. I'm not saying we're the only team that does it, but it is works very well for us, and it's our commitment back to athletes. And what's happened in the last couple of years, to be honest with you, Zach, is we've been in a situation where we've had 80 guys, you know, trying to get 16 roster spots. So it's almost been a point in time where we're sitting back and doing so much evaluation early in the process, and that's what the recruiting process has become now. It's so early, you know, that, you know, we're in a good place. You know, I think people really want to be at Stevens. You know, we're a school where they make no bones about the importance of lacrosse in the landscape of the athletic department. And, you know, and I think guys want to be a part of those types of programs where they know in lacrosse, you know, if you're a lacrosse player on campus, that, you know, they're going to be looked at in a very high regard. And, you know, we've been able to really kind of parlay that into some pretty special recruiting classes. And, you know, we feel that's the same thing moving forward. You know, we had 7-8 guys in the 2014 high school graduating class trying to verbally commit to us this year. And, you know, we kind of just tell them to pump the brakes a little bit. You know, it's a little early. They were trying to verbally commit to us in the fall. Some of them haven't even taken their SATs yet. And, you know, we just kind of chuckled at them a little bit and said, pump the brakes. Let's reevaluate it. And, you know, let's take a deep breath here. But it's Stevens is a place where a lot of guys want to be. And I'm proud to say that. I don't say that with any arrogance or any, you know, come across as bragging or braggadocio, but, you know, we're just really kind of proud of the product that we offer academically, certainly first, but then the product that we're offering on the lacrosse field as well. And, you know, it's nice to have a stadium that overlooks, the skyline. And, you know, I think, you know, there's an article that listed Stevens as one of the top places to play a college lacrosse game. It's just a pretty cool setup over here. And, you know, we're going to continue to parlay that into, you know, good recruiting classes for sure.
I was actually, can you talk a little about Dubon Field, your field? I used to live in Hoboken myself. I personally really love the field, the way kind of the bleachers overhang the playing field almost. It kind of makes this little bowl kind of feeling to it. And generally, the campus is a beautiful campus. It sits up there on the bluff, kind of overlooking Manhattan. I mean, just a little bit about that atmosphere that I guess you guys are able to kind of take advantage of.
I would call it the million-dollar view over there, and you know, and to be honest with you, when I was coaching at another school for a lot of years, when competing against Stevens, when we would go, we'd come to play Stevens on a road trip, I would let our guys go to the view because you know a lot of those guys were looking at Stevens and the school I was at, and it was RIT, and you know, the guys were like, oh, let's go check out the view because they had seen it when they were on a recruiting trip. I'm like, no, let's get in the visiting locker room, let's get on the field. You know, it is pretty breathtaking, you know, and the field is just really well done. You know, it's one of those fields with lacrosse lines only, and, you know, we don't have football at Stevens. It's a pristine field, certainly, and just to set up, as you had said, with the bleachers being above the field, which is really kind of neat, and they have some seating and some standing room only on the side of the field, which is good. Our alumni certainly make the most out of that area, try to get as close to the field of action or the field of play as they can, and you know, it's just a great atmosphere. You know, we're able to draw Hoboken's a great town to be in too. But you know, even people that have lived near Hoboken or you know been in Hoboken have sometimes don't even know Stevens is up on that hill. You know, and then they come up and see it, and they're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how nice this place is. So it is a special place. The field is really really in great shape, and we're proud to call that our home for sure.
You know, you mentioned that kind of that some people maybe almost discover the field as they're in Hoboken. You mentioned before too that Stevenson's has about a 100-plus year traditional lacrosse. It's considered, I believe, the oldest lacrosse tradition in the country. I guess in some ways, you know, I mean, I grew up in Jersey my whole life, and yet it took me moving to Hoboken to kind of learn a little bit more about Stevens. Have you seen any efforts, or have you been involved in efforts to kind of generally help increase the profile of the athletic programs, the lacrosse program in particular, to the university almost, to make them more of one of those kind of frontline institutions when you think of New Jersey and you know, athletics and those kind of things?
Yeah, you know, it's exactly one of the goals I had when I took the job at Stevens. You know, our goal was to, you know, get more people to recognize that Stevens is right here and Stevens is a beautiful place and get them on campus. We run a couple of events throughout the fall and then the summer for high school guys to come play and get a sense of what it feels like to play college lacrosse and be on the field, and you know, we break down film for them and do things like they would do when they get to college. So that's one of the things that we've done. We run summer leagues for adults and an adult league for guys that are, you know, either out of college or still in college, and that's been a big deal in the summer, where you have 250, you know, players coming in to play in a league, you know, during the week. And the amazing part, you know, is Hoboken may be one of the per capita biggest lacrosse towns out there. You know, as I look at our registration for our summer league of college lacrosse players, we had 250 players play in our summer league, and 190 of them live in Hoboken in the summer. You know, so whether or live in Hoboken, you know, now because they work in the city or whatever. So there's a lot of lacrosse experience, you know, in Hoboken. You know, I think there's a Princeton assistant coach who lives in Hoboken. You know, I just think there's a lot of lacrosse in the area, and it has become like this little lacrosse mecca, you know, and not so much at the high school and grassroots quite yet, but you know, for post college and college guys, you know, it's a nice little place that, you know, guys love to be around and playing on the field. And we've tried to bring as much attention to our field and our campus through our recruiting events and you know, through our publications as we can. You know, we continue to do that because there's times where we have a recruit on campus and, you know, their parents are with them and the parents say, you know, I've lived in New Jersey for 50 years and we never even knew Stevens was in Hoboken. And we heard of Stevens, but we never been here, you know, and in a way that breaks my heart, and you know, but in a way I'm happy that we finally got him there. And then they leave and they're saying, this is the best, this is awesome, you know, there's no other view. And there really isn't. And that's not because I'm the head coach at Stevens. I used to say this when I was a head coach at other places. I don't think you can find a view and a campus with that type of scenery anywhere in the country, you know. And you know, I'm sure there's some beautiful places, don't get me wrong, but to oversee, you know, the New York City, the Manhattan area is just intense and exciting. And, you know, and it helps with job placement too. You know, you talk about co-ops or our guys, you talk about those things, it certainly helps. And this is all coming to a head in what we talked about earlier. This is why, you know, that's why we have 80, you know, great lacrosse players going for 16, 17 spots every year. You know, as you couple the experience of lacrosse, the importance of lacrosse in the landscape, you know, the style of play that we play, and then, you know, the academic piece, and then the co-op and internship availabilities, and being right at the foothills of New York City, it's pretty awesome. You know, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, and like I said, it's an honor to be the head coach there for sure.
You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, being right there at the footsteps of New York City, and generally about being in Hoboken. I guess part of that conversation, particularly in this past year, then touches in on the damage suffered in Hoboken during Hurricane Sandy. What ways maybe did that storm affect, you know, the campus, your team, your players individually, and then maybe beyond that, there were a lot of service efforts going on in New Jersey and in Hoboken particularly. You know, in what ways maybe did those kind of touch the team or the campus as well?
Yeah, I think in a lot of different ways. You know, the campus was in pretty good shape. Being up on the hill, there wasn't much flooding. Obviously, the power was out, and there were some trees that were down on the campus, And I chuckle because one of the few places that had electricity was the fraternity house that probably 30 of our guys live in. And to our guys' credit, we were in touch with our captains throughout the whole hurricane, week and a half, it seemed like. And, reached out to our captains and like, coach, we haven't even lost power. We even have cable TV. So in a way, they were fortunate. Some of them had more damage at their homes and where they grew up than they did, you know, had to deal with at Stevens. Some of them already went home prior to the storm as well. But the credit to our guys were the guys that, you know, that were in the fraternity house that had, you know, electricity and cable. Is they opened their doors to their teammates and to other, you know, student athletes and to other people on campus to give them a place, you know, and I thought that was really kind of neat. Plus, you know, a handful of our guys being pretty involved in some community service efforts in the city of Hoboken. You know, Hoboken really put their best foot forward. It was a tough time, and they're still rebuilding, but from it. But you know, Hoboken put their best foot forward, and not so much the town only, but the people, and you know, the people involved and the people surrounding the town. And it was just really kind of neat to see. And you know, it brought a lot of, you know, as much as it was a devastating weather situation and a devastating, situation altogether. It brought a lot of pride to Hoboken. You know, it brought a lot of pride to the people of Hoboken to rally and get their job done and help each other out. And, you know, and that was really kind of neat for me. You know, I live 45 minutes from Hoboken, but it was neat for me to see on TV. It was neat for me to see the post that Stevens administrators are posting. I couldn't even get to campus for a week, you know, but it was really nice to see our guys respond and the community, the Stevens community respond to, you know, the area's needs. And our guys certainly, you know, fall right into place with that as well.
Well, Coach, I guess that kind of covers it then. So I hope you guys, have a successful trip down in Virginia Beach, and you get to return to those friendly confines of Hoboken victorious with a big test against Tufts coming up right afterwards.
Yes, well, thank you. I appreciate the time and appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about Stevens and our program. Thank you.
All right, Coach, take care and safe travels to you guys.
Thanks. Inside the Cross Podcast.